And so, God, we have come yet again to the point of the sermon where we are waiting on you to speak to us through your word. Lord, if there is unbelief, if there is lack of faith, if there is doubt here this morning in who you are, about what you have created us for, about the relationship that man can have with you, I pray that that would be wiped away today through the preaching of your word. Use me this day, Lord, to bring glory and honor to your name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning, and as you are being seated, if you would get out your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. If you didn't bring your Bible this morning, let me encourage you to look underneath a seat somewhere near you. There you will find a copy of God's Word, and you can turn to page 526. 526, and there you will find Psalm 148. And we are pressed a little bit for time, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to speed up a little bit, and then I'm going to ask you to give me a little more time. So we'll just compromise in the middle there, okay? So get to Psalm 148 quick. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way through this psalm. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. When you go to someone and you try to convince them to root for your team, maybe they are new to America, new to American sports, or maybe they just aren't really into sports and you're in a conversation about whose team is best, whether it be football or basketball or soccer. And so you try to convince them, no, you need to be a fan of this team. You need to put on this jersey. You need to root for this team because we have a better offense or a better defense, or maybe it's a better quarterback or better receivers, or maybe it's a college team and you just think the school is better. It doesn't really matter whether the team is any good or not. And so you just say, no, it's just a better school. You need to root for this team. As you do that, then what you are doing is expressing that you believe your team is worthy of that person's praise over and above all the other teams. We are, by our call to others to praise our team, expressing the worth that we ascribe to that team. This is what the psalmist is doing with his God in Psalm 148. He wrote this hymn calling on all creation to praise the Lord because he knows that the Lord is the only one who is worthy of all praise. By his call to creation, all of creation, to praise his God, he is expressing the worth of God. Now he begins and ends this hymn with a shout of praise the Lord. It is one word in the Hebrew. It comes from the root Hallel combined with Yahweh, which is the name for God. And when you transliterate that into English, you get hallelujah. And so that's what he says at the beginning, hallelujah. The psalmist uses it both as a declaration of praise to God as well as a call for the rest of creation to join in praise with God. Did you notice that? He just starts moving down through creation and inviting them and calling on them to praise the Lord. He starts with the angels who are in heaven. He calls all the hosts of heaven, those who were created by God as His messengers, as His servants, those that are in His presence to praise the God. praise his Lord. He calls on space to praise the Lord, the heavens that are above the heavens. That was a way to explain what was in the heavens, in space, the stars and the moon and the sun and all that was there. He calls on them to praise the Lord. He calls on all of the earth to praise the Lord. The mountains, the hills, the lightning, the mist, all the creatures that crawl on the earth, the birds that fly in the air, everything, he calls on them to praise the Lord. And then he calls on all of mankind to praise the Lord. He just walks through and he steps down from the heavens all the way down to man and he says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is a call to get them to shout hallelujah to God. The Lord is worthy of the praise and adoration of all the angels and space and all the earth and all that is on it and all of mankind. That is how glorious his God is. So who is this God who is worthy of such praise and adoration? But why should we join with all of creation and praise him? You may be here this morning, it's your first time in church, or maybe you haven't been in a while, and you're wondering, why is it that we gather together on Sundays and we praise the Lord? Why is there a people who says, God is God, and that's who I'm giving my life to? Our text this morning gives us four reasons why the Lord alone is worthy of all praise. And so my prayer this morning is that God would stir in your heart, either for the first time or in a fresh new way, and bring an understanding of who he is so you will respond with an overwhelming awe and joy that spills out in your life as unhindered praise to him. And I also pray that you would be so enamored with him that you will, like the psalmist, declare God's worth by calling on all of creation to join in with you and praise the Lord. So let's look at these four reasons why God is worthy of all praise. Number one, we see the Lord is worthy of all praise because he is the creator of all things. God is the creator of all things. In verse 5, the psalmist gives us this first reason for why God is worthy of all praise. He says, let them praise the name of the Lord for, here's the reason, he commanded and they were created. He's talking about all that he has just called on to praise the Lord, all the things in space. But ultimately, we know that all of creation was because the Lord created it. Calling on creation to praise the Lord elevates him over and above the creation. And rightly so, since God is the creator of all things. God created all things for his glory. In other words, creation exists to make much of the God who created it. Even in a world marred by the fall, the glory of God still peeks through. We see it in sunrise and sunset. We see it in storms that roll in. We see it in all kinds of ways, flowers that bloom, things that are on the earth. We see the glory of God peeking through. The psalmist is calling on creation to do what it was created to do, to glorify, to praise, to worship the God who created it. He is worthy of all praise because he is the creator of all things. Listen, when you stand before a painting and you begin to talk about that painting and how great it is, you don't praise the colors and the paint and the canvas and the forms and the images that are there. You may talk about those things, but what you are really doing as you talk about what is on that canvas and the frame is praising the artist who put it all together, who chose the colors, who made the image, who put it on that canvas and put it in a frame. You don't praise the creation. You naturally praise the creator. And this is what the psalmist is saying. God is creator of all things. Praise him. In Psalm 19:1, it tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. Listen, we live with ears deaf to the constant praise of creation for its creator. We will look at creation and ignore the obvious evidences of a creator, and we will give our praise to the creation instead. However, knowing our inability to see the obvious due to the blindness of our hearts, the creator himself stepped down into his creation, and he opened blind eyes and he opened deaf ears so that we might see his glory. Then he died on the cross and he defeated sin and rose from the grave to free us from the chains of sin so we might know our Creator and not only join in with the praise of creation, but lead that symphony of praise to the Lord. Faith family, we exist to disciple people to love God supremely and love others sacrificially because we exist for the praise of the glory of God. Our mission falls out of our purpose. He brought us into existence 20 years ago for the purpose of His glory, not the glory of any man, not the glory of any group of people, but for His glory. If we give our praise to the wisdom or the efforts of man instead of to God, then we are failing to do what we have been created to do, both as humans and as a church. God created this community to be in this place for this time for the purpose of His praise. And so this morning, as we think about all that God has done for us, all that God has done through us, we call on all creation to join with us in the praise of our Creator, the only one who is worthy of all praise. But number two, the Lord is worthy of all praise because His word never fails. His word never fails. In verse 5, we see that God created all things. In verse 6, we see that God sustains all things. The psalmist says, He established them forever and ever. Now, he's not arguing that creation is eternal. We know that God will one day usher in a new heaven and a new earth. The point the psalmist is making is that God's creation will last as long as God says. It is going to remain until God says otherwise. God spoke creation into existence, therefore nothing less than God the Creator can undo creation. But more specifically, nothing is going to be able to disrupt or undo God's established laws in creation. The sovereign, all-powerful God who spoke all things into existence also declared how each object of creation would function and interact. And so it will all continue as He decreed until He decrees otherwise. Nothing is going to change in His laws until He says otherwise, the laws of creation. The world is going to turn. The sun is going to rise and set, and we're going to remain in orbit around the sun, and the moon is going to remain in orbit around us until the God who ordered those things decides they no longer will. And until that day and until that moment, they will remain. Why? Because God decreed it to be. That's why. His word is unchanging and unfailing because He is unchanging and He never fails. When He gives a decree, it shall not pass away. In Psalm 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By Your appointment they stand this day, for all things are Your servants." But listen, this just doesn't apply to God's decrees for creation. Creation displays what is true about all that God says, all of His word, all that He decrees. Listen to Isaiah 55:11. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall My word be that goes out from My mouth. It shall not return to Me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it." The word of God will never be hindered. It will never be blocked. It will never be weakened. It will never be subverted. It will never fall short of its intended end. It will always, without fail, accomplish all God intends for it to accomplish. See, God is worthy of all praise because His word can be trusted. Now, this has implications for the very things that we are facing and walking through this very day. Because God spoke all things into existence, it is God who defines reality. Now, think about that. What we know to be is because God declared that it would be. The reality that you know, the reality that we have is reality because God said, "This is what is real." There is no time or space. There is no emptiness. There is no water. There is no air. There is no understanding, no thought process. There is no right or wrong. There is no love. There is no reality outside of what God has declared to be real. And what God declared reality to be will always be because His word never fails. This is why a society that pushes God to the margins and replaces Him with a God of their own liking can believe that a male can become a female and a female can become a male just by decree. We have risen to a level of audacity that puts ourselves in God's place and decrees what reality is. Further, we then call for others not just to accept our reality, but to praise that reality. What we are witnessing in our world is not just a people who are confused about what is right and what is wrong. We are living in a society so blinded by pride that we actually believe we have the power to speak into reality that which is not real. God made them male and female by the decree of His word, and there is nothing that will ever change that. So you can disagree with the Bible all you want. However, no, you will always be wrong, and God's decrees will always be right. It doesn't matter how loud you are. It doesn't matter how many people you get to say that it is wrong. What God has decreed is right, and it will always be right because He is God and He decreed it. But the unfailing word of God means for us that we can trust whatever He says. Think about that. His decrees, His promises, His revelation of truth can be trusted with full assurance. Believer, it may seem like your life is spinning out of control, but God is working all things for your good. He has a plan and a purpose that He is bringing about in your life, and nothing can keep His plan from coming about. How do I know that? How do I know that it's true in your life? Because He said so. He said that He is working all things for your good and His glory. Therefore, it is true. It is reality. It doesn't matter what your experience seems like. It doesn't matter what the world tells you. The reality is God spoke it and He is working it in your life because you can trust His word. You can live your life following His truth, obeying His commands, trusting His promises, fully assured that they will never fail. Listen, we have existed these past 20 years because God declared it to be so. We exist because God wanted us to exist, and we will remain because God wants us to remain. We have continued through the difficulties of the past 8 years because God has sustained us. And we will continue to remain through the next 20 years if we continue to trust in His word. We have to set our eyes on being the church God has called us to be for however long He desires for us to remain. So our hope does not rest on the gimmicks of man or better marketing campaigns. Our faith, listen, must not be placed in the money we receive from the sale of any or all of our property. It's not like all of a sudden it's going to get better because we sell property or because we get out of debt. Now God's going to start to move. That's not where our faith is. That's not where our hope is. It is the Lord and He alone that sustains us. And so today we praise the Lord for sustaining us and we rejoice in the hope of His steadfast word that will continue to sustain us and carry us into tomorrow. We praise God because we are a testimony that His word never fails. Number three. Y'all keeping up? All right, here we go. The Lord is worthy of all praise because He alone is God. He alone is God. In verse 13, the psalmist tells us the Lord is worthy of all praise because His name alone is exalted. Now, man, you know, uses the term God to refer to any and all perceived deities. However, the God of the Bible is not like any other. In the Bible, when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it is referring to Yahweh. Yahweh is the name God gave Moses at the burning bush. I am. In other words, God is the one who has always been, and He is the one who will always be. Now, God gives us many names for Himself throughout the Bible in order to reveal the many facets of His character. It's how He reveals Himself to us, that He is loving and that He is kind and that He is gracious, all of those things. However, Yahweh is the most holy name for God. when they would copy the Bible, the scribes would literally get to the name of Yahweh. They would wipe their pen and they would get up and wash their whole body every single time before they wrote the name of God, Yahweh. There are Jews still today who will not speak this name, Yahweh, because they revere it so highly. The psalmist is calling for the praise, not of just any God, but of Yahweh, the Lord, the one true God. He is greater and more glorious than all of creation because His majesty is above the earth and the heavens. Whenever the hymn writer called on creation to praise the Lord, he not only was elevating Yahweh above creation, he was elevating Him above all the other gods of the ancient Near East. Do you remember your history? What did they worship? Sun, moon. They worshiped creation. They worshiped idols in the forms of dogs and cats, right? They worshiped the creation. And so when the psalmist says His majesty is above creation, when it is God, Yahweh, who created, what he's saying is He's not just above creation. He's above all of these other gods who find their place in creation. God created the very forms of the things that they were copying to form their gods. God created the very materials used for them to create their own gods. He is God and God alone. Nothing in creation compares to God. As the Creator, He is greater and more glorious than all of creation. This is what the psalmist is saying in the second part of verse 13. God's majesty is above earth and heaven. Listen, if you take all that we know about the very building blocks of matter and life and you compare them to God, they're nothing. If you take all the water from all the oceans and lakes and rivers and streams and you compare those to God, they're nothing. Isaiah 40:12 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens with a span?" If we take all the nations with their armies and their weapons and munitions and strategies and we compare them to God, they're nothing. Isaiah 40:17 says, "All the nations are as nothing before Him. They are accounted by Him as less than nothing and emptiness." If we take all the vastness of space and its stars and moons and planets, its comets and asteroids and nebulas, and we compare them to God, they are nothing. This is why space is so vast. God cannot be contained by what He created. So all the billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of stars, they are just a small declaration of the magnitude of the majesty of the God who created them and therefore transcends them. Nothing compares to the one true God, and so no one is more worthy of His praise. This is why God commands us to have no other gods before Him. There is none other that can compare. It's why God tells us not to make images of Him. His majesty and glory cannot be contained nor fully represented in any image. For man to try to do that is blasphemy because any effort will result in gross misrepresentation of God, who God really is, defaming Him and the glory He is due. Listen, to praise anything above God would be like praising the heat of an amber over that of the sun. It would be like praising the drip that comes out of your faucet over the roaring waters that cascade over Niagara Falls. It would be like praising the height of an anthill over the height of Everest. Yet we praise all sorts of lesser things and even call for others to join in the praise of these things. However, none of them come close to comparing to the majesty and glory of God, and therefore they are not worthy of our praise. God is infinitely more worthy of your praise than anything else. Nothing comes close. Believer, you do not serve a God among many. You do not serve a God among equals. You serve the one true God who alone is worthy of your praise. And so do not be ashamed to praise His name. Praise Him in your prayer closet. Praise Him in your car. And of course, at every opportunity, join with other believers to praise Him. God created this church primarily for one reason, and that is to bring glory and honor to His name. And as we gather each week, we have the privilege of lifting up the name of the one true God, and we declare Him worthy as we do. Your presence in this community for the purpose of joining into the praise, into praise of God is an important part of your demonstration of God's worth to you. When you make plans the night before in anticipation of what is to come on Sunday, when you set aside your Sunday morning to the sacrifice of other things, when you gather with others from different backgrounds and cultures and ethnicities, joining your voices in song, your hearts in prayer, and your lives in service to the Lord, you are putting a premium on making much of God. You are saying that He and He alone is worthy of your praise. So listen, if regular sacrificial worship with a body of believers that you have committed to through meaningful membership is not part of your normal week, then let me encourage you to come and be a part of this faith family. I invite you to join us for the next 20 years as we make much of the one true God through regular corporate praise of God. On your own, separated from the regular gathering of like-minded believers, you cannot function as God intended you to function and has told you in His Word. Listen, watching online is good. If you're watching online today, we're so glad you're with us. But it's not enough. God has called you to be a part of a body of believers, to join with them physically and to praise His name. Come be a part of a body of believers who are not ashamed to declare every Sunday that there is one God, His name is Yahweh, and He alone is worthy of all praise. But finally, number four, the Lord is worthy of all praise because He is a benevolent King. He is a benevolent King. In verse 14, it says, God raised up a horn for His people. In the Old Testament, horn referred to strength and power. It also referred to the king of a nation because that king was its leader. It led it into battle and made decisions for its good. In many parts of the Old Testament, this would refer to King David. He was Israel's greatest king. Here, however, it refers to the strength and power of God used for the good of His people, Israel. See, before Israel had kings, God was their king. He had chosen a people, a nation unto Himself. It was because of God's power that they succeeded. And that's the point. God used His sovereignty and His power to lift up a weak and anemic people enslaved in Egypt to become a great and mighty nation. As king, He fought their battles for them. As king, He provided all that they needed and He blessed them greatly. And so this is what the second half of verse 14 is saying. He lifted up praise for His saints. It's not saying that God praised His people. The psalmist is pointing to the praise of the other nations toward Israel because of what God had done for them. The other nations knew where Israel had come from. The other nations knew what happened to the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. They knew the stories of the conquest of Canaan. The response of the other nations was fear and amazement. In essence, the praise of the other nations toward Israel was a praise to God. Why? Because it was God who was working on behalf of Israel so that all those things would take place and that they would become a nation. I mean, apart from God, they were just a million people wandering around. But it was God who said, yes, this is My people and I will do a work in their lives because I love them. They had a special place in God's heart the other nations did not have. And so He is saying that above all of God's creation, His people Israel, who have experienced His unconditional love, should be the first to praise Him. But we also in Christ have experienced the love of God. And we hold a special place in God's heart. It is not just Israel. It is not just the Jew. In 1 Peter 2:10, it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You and I were also chosen to know and experience the unique love God reserves for His people. We who are not the people of God have now, through Christ, become the people of God. Hebrews 7 tells us, for on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. This better hope through which we draw near is Christ Jesus. He died on the cross so we could be forgiven and made righteous. Ephesians 4:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, God raised up a horn for His people, a King of kings who loved us enough that He would give His life so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Jesus' work of salvation in our life enables a nearness and a closeness of relationship with God that is unequaled. Listen, not even the angels who are in the very presence of God have the nearness of relationship to God that His people have been given. He loves us. He cares for us. He is a benevolent King. So above the rest of creation, God's people should give God the highest praise. Not only do we have the glory of God revealed in creation, the experience of His unfailing word and the realization that He alone is God, we also have been afforded the privilege of being welcomed into His kingdom to experience His unmatched love. Listen, for many of you here today, God, you can point to specific events in your life where you have experienced the grace of God. For some, it has been healing. For some, it has been a marriage restored, provision in a time of great need, or a child who has returned. For others, it has been peace in the midst of great tragedy, or perseverance through a lifelong storm. But you have experienced the love of a benevolent King who has given you grace after grace after grace after grace. For us as a church, we've experienced the love of God over these past 20 years in so many different ways. The fact that we are even in this building is a story of God's unmerited favor on us. The number of people God has brought to us with the gifts needed to accomplish His will and the mission and vision that He has given to us. The many times He has provided in the midst of financial crisis. The 416 baptisms at Faith Family that we have seen since inception. The number of lifelong gospel relationships that have formed through this ministry. Faith Family, our benevolent King is worthy of our praise. We should join in with the psalmist and cry, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." But His unwavering love should also spur us to call others to praise Him. The psalmist does this when he invites all of mankind to praise the Lord. He calls on those with power and station, kings and rulers, as well as the general population. He calls on men and women. He calls on young and old, weak and strong. In other words, He excludes no one from the call to praise God. He is inviting them to come and to taste and to see that His God is good. Listen, when you die to yourself, step out of your comfort zone and begin to call on others to join you in the praise of God, it is the ultimate declaration of God's worth. You are saying that your reputation is worth sacrificing if it will bring others to see the glory of God and praise Him. Your job is worth sacrificing if it will demonstrate to the world the worth of God and elicit His praise. Sacrifice demonstrates the worth of that for which you sacrificed. So listen, call for your coworkers to praise the Lord. Call for your family to praise the Lord. Call for others wherever you may be to praise the Lord. Show them His worth and then share with them the glorious news of the gospel so that they can join in and praise Him. If God in His grace gives us another 20 years, may He use each one to show the worth of God as we call others to taste and see that the Lord is good and worthy of all praise. Will you pray with me this morning? As we move into our time of personal response, I want to call you this morning to praise the Lord. It may be this morning that that means for you that you give praise to God for who He is and all that He has done for your life. Even now, as you begin to rehearse the things that God has done in your life, salvation and beyond, friendships, family, all the love that you have experienced because God loves you, even though you didn't deserve it. Then in this time of response, you just praise Him. It may be if you don't have a church home, that you would commit to join with a body of believers who will encourage you to give praise to God as you walk through this life. It is hard sometimes to praise the Lord in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. God has given you the opportunity to be with a body of believers who will remind you who He is, who will point you to His majesty and encourage you to give Him the praise that He is due. We would love to talk to you about how you can make Faith Family that place. Or maybe you want to commit to call others to praise the Lord. It may even be a specific person that God has laid on your heart that you know have never experienced the unfailing love of God. They're wandering around in life without purpose, without direction, because they do not know the unfailing word of God. Listen, commit to share the gospel with them this week in these moments of personal response. But it may be here this morning that you know nothing of this God that we worship and we praise. But as He has revealed Himself to you this morning through His Word and through the Spirit who has been speaking to your heart, your act of praise this morning is to give your life over to this benevolent King. I want to invite you to make Jesus your King so that you might know the love of God. Listen, God as Creator is also ruler, and He is worthy of your allegiance. But you have rebelled against Him. You've taken sides with the enemy, and you have mounted an offense toward God. The Bible calls that sin. It is you rejecting His rule and saying, you know better. You're going to follow your wisdom. You're going to follow your ways. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You are deserving of the wrath of a holy King. Yet God in His grace sent an envoy of peace to you. And He is doing it this morning as He invites you to have peace with Him. God Himself in the form of His Son Jesus stepped out of heaven, took on human flesh, and He went to the cross and He died there, not for His sins, but for your sins. He shed His blood so that you could be forgiven of sins, so that you could have life, so that you could have His righteousness, and therefore you could have peace with God. I invite you this morning that when they begin to play and that when they begin to sing, that you slip out from where you are seated and you come forward. Pastor Ryan and myself will be standing right here, and we will receive you. If you want more information about joining Faith Family, or you just want to come to this altar and pray, or whatever it is that God is leading you to do this morning, as a response of praise to Him, you come. As they play and as they sing, you come.